do you want the latest in sports?
On Indy's Giant 90.9.
Every Tuesday at 8:30 to 9:15.
Tune in to the Playbook Radio Show.
You are listening to the Playbook Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9.
Where we talk about the latest in college basketball,
college football,
and the NFL. So tune in Tuesday 8:30 to 9:15.
On Indy's Giant 90.9.
To get the latest in all sports.
That's Tuesday at 8:30 to 9:15. Tune into the Playbook with Garrett Burkle, Jason Brown, Brody West, Elijah Ennis, and Rock Griffin.
You know what that means. We're back for another episode of the Playbook Radio Show. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, the one, the only, Mr. Jason Brown. How we doing today, Jason?
Roll Tide. No, I'm sure I'm doing pretty good, Garrett Burkle. How we doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. I like the orange for Halloween. It is our Halloween episode, so spooky.
I like you just threw this on. I didn't even really face it to it.
That's valid, but I guess you picked the right day to wear orange though. So shout out to you, Jason Brown.
Yes, sir.
We're joined as always by my WBDG partner in crime for football, and starting tonight at 7:30 basketball. We won't be doing Inside Ben Davis football tonight, but Mr. Easter will be doing that with Coach Russman later at 7 o'clock. But we'll be on call for the Fishers Ben Davis girls basketball game at 7:30. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Elijah Ennis. How we doing today, Elijah?
Hello. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing great. You know, caught a break, cooking a fish fillet on a steak. And we also got that man, Brody West, over here. You know, Brody West. Shout out, Brody West, baby.
How we doing, Brody?
I'm good, man. I'm doing well.
Good. Good to be back. Everyone's break pretty good. Well, I guess we were back last week, so I can't even ask that because, I mean, our school just got back in yesterday. But anyway, I know you guys had a good break, as we talked about last week. But anyway, let's dive into some sports, as it was a very interesting week of both college and the NFL. Not a whole lot of good games, if I'm going to be honest. There was a few, but few and far between for sure. And then college basketball also tips off pretty soon as teams are getting underway their expedition games. Some upsets in that is Arkansas took down Purdue at Arkansas's place, and then Kansas traveled to Illinois and lost by 6. So the Jayhawks, the number one team in the country, lost an expedition game. Now, these don't matter, obviously, but again, it's nice to get a little feel of the college basketball, you know, world before the season starts.
Definitely.
So, I'm excited for college basketball this year. Do you guys watch a lot of college basketball, Jason?
No. I do.
Elijah does. What about you, Brody?
No, I do not.
Not the college basketball guy. I mean, Elijah, who's your pick to win the title this year?
You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, just came out of high school going into college this year. You know, like Rob Dillingham, Isaiah Cooper, who's at USC, Bronny James at USC. You know, shout out Bronny, by the way.
Hold on. Who is Isaiah Cooper?
He was the best player out of his class last year.
You mean Isaiah Collier?
No, Cooper.
It's Collier.
Collier? Excuse me, Isaiah Collier.
There we go.
You know, great basketball player. I want to see how USC is going to handle him and Bronny going off the court, but I believe Bronny's going to start off the bench this year.
That's ridiculous. I see that, too.
We got Jared McCain, who's probably one of the best point guards coming out of California last year, going into Duke University. Shout out to Duke University with the best player out of this last, I think
this upcoming class.
Upcoming
class,
2025. Uh-huh. Cooper Flagg committed to Duke University, so shout out to him.
He might be 24 or 25, but if you guys look at the 2024 recruiting landscape, if Dylan Harper commits to Rutgers, Rutgers will have two of the top four players in next year's class going to Rutgers. I mean, how crazy is that?
That's actually crazy. But
Wait, who's the other one?
Let me look up his name real quick. I think he's the number four player overall.
Really?
I'm looking it up. Yeah, right now. College basketball.
The Scarlet Knights of Rutgers.
Yeah, and I mean, they're a very good coach team under Steve Peichel. They've made the tournament, you know. They've always been on the bubble the last few years to make the tournament. Made the tournament a few times. Okay, so Cooper Flagg was the number one player in 2024. Mm-hmm. So we just talked. He's not 25. He's 24. Dylan Harper right now has a 100% crystal ball. This is 24/7. Has a 100% crystal ball. So this is like his projected path is to go to Rutgers. And the number three overall player is Ace Bailey, who is committed to Rutgers.
Wow. Amari Bailey, brother.
Yeah, and Dylan's brother, Ron Harper Jr., played at Rutgers, and his father, Ron Sr., played on the Bulls dynasty teams in the 90s with MJ and all those guys. So, just obviously, basketball runs in the family. So, if Rutgers can get two of the top three recruits, not the top four, two of the top three recruits, I mean, just what an accomplishment for them. I mean, already to get, you know, one of the top three players in your class is a huge deal nonetheless, but to get two of them in one class, that'd be kind of crazy. But yeah, anyway, sorry to get on that college basketball rant there. As we had some college football games this weekend. Again, not too good of games. The one that I really wanted to touch on, I don't know if you guys watched it, was the Kansas-Oklahoma game. Did anyone tune into that one? Because that game was awesome.
I didn't tune into much, but I remember seeing a few clips on the last drive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seeing how Kansas won that game is actually pretty crazy. I mean, Oklahoma kind of had that game in the bag, and they just sold it at the goal line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
After I seen the mascot, I mean, the intro of them falling off the little horse thingy, I just stopped watching it.
So the final score of that game was 38-33, and again, I mean, what a victory for that Kansas football program. As I mean, I remember it felt like, you know, just 2 years ago, I mean, they were the worst college football team, you know, maybe in the country. And now, I mean, they just beat Oklahoma for the first time since, hold on, I have a one of my Kansas buddies sent me a stat on it that I'm going to look up because it was very interesting. So Kansas had not beaten Oklahoma since 1997.
Wow.
Yeah. So shout out to them for finally getting that big victory. And then another game I wanted to touch on was the Indiana Hoosiers going to Happy Valley and keeping it a game for the entire game. At one point, I think it was 17-17 heading into the fourth, or with like 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it was tied. And then, no, it was 24-24. It was tied. And then from there, Penn State kind of took over. Drew Allard had a 70-plus yard touchdown. And from there, it just kind of went in the favor of the Nittany Lions. But I'm starting to see a trend in Penn State that I don't like at all.
What's
that? It feels like to me that these Penn State teams, all they do is lock, or they do the same thing every single year, and it's not winning them games. They have not beat Michigan or Ohio State in forever. They haven't beat Ohio State since 2016. Their last win against Michigan, I think, was 2018, 2019, around there. Maybe 2020, the COVID year, but I really don't really count that.
You said it. 2016 was Saquon there, right?
Yeah, that was okay. The last time the Nittany Lions beat the Buckeyes. They should have beat them the next year at Ohio, at the Horseshoe, but Ohio State came back down like three or four touchdowns, Jason, and to beat the Nittany Lions that day in a stellar game where Saquon returned the opening kick to the house. That was a fun game to watch, indeed.
It's always my team always being up by touchdowns or being down by touchdowns, like just like last Friday when the Brownsburg Bulldogs were up 18 points and we lost. But you know,
yeah, as we have yet to kind of kick into the high school here on the playbook, but yeah, that was, you know, we were on, Elijah and I were on call for that game, and I don't know what Brownsburg was doing, you know, not running the ball.
The miracle on 10th Street.
Miracle on 10th Street, yes, sir. I mean, you have the best running back in state, Garrett Sherrill. Just run him the ball, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's in the human mind. You know, they probably like, you know, they're expecting us to run the ball here.
Yeah, but hey, but shout out that Ben Davis defensive line, as they turned into some NFL Hall of Famers on those last two drives.
Definitely. I mean, they just pulled a Pete Carroll.
And a shout out to Isaiah White, who got an offer from Minnesota, BD's own. So, yeah, shout out him. But anyway, back to my comments about Penn State. If I'm James Franklin right now, you're not in the hot seat by any means, because, you know, you still get 9 to 10 wins a year at Penn State. I mean, they won the Rose Bowl last year, for Pete's sake. But again, it's just like, I just see it right now is, I don't know, it's just, If I'm Penn State, I don't know like what to do with Franklin, because he's won some big games before. Again, he's beaten Ohio State before. He's beaten Michigan a few times, but it feels like, you know, he's not ever made the playoff. He's always had teams within the top, you know, 10 pretty much every year since 2016 there. And again, he's just not putting the results that, you know, we need to see out of a guy like that together. So if I'm James Franklin, I'm kind of worried right now, you know, with the trajectory, because people are starting to question Penn State, and that's what I'm starting to do too, because this, you know, the same thing happens every year. They get their nine, ten wins, but they don't beat the two biggest opponents on the schedule, and that being Michigan or Ohio State anymore. Like, you have to do that. And could Penn State beat Michigan this year? I think with everything's going on in Michigan, I think they could. It is at Michigan, though. I believe it's at Michigan, so it will be a tough one. But, if I'm James Franklin right now, like, you know, you just got to start winning big games at Penn State. And I think that's what it boils down to. But, again, their scare against Indiana this weekend, they came away with the W.
You can say that also with Ohio State. I mean, they come close to, you know, either making the college football playoffs or maybe not, which most of the times they do. Mm-hmm. And then first round, they just, you know, find a way to accept the Ohio State fans and just lose.
I mean, I wouldn't say that necessarily, just because, I mean, Ohio State has had the best resume of the Big Ten, the college football playoff, the last few years. I'm thinking they did not make the playoff in 21, correct, Jason?
That was they played against Utah in the Rose Bowl.
That's right. So this year they didn't make the playoff, and if Marvin Harrison Jr. plays that whole game, I totally expect Ohio State to win that game. That's here nor there, but that's just in my opinion what would have happened if, you know, Georgia took Marvin Harrison Jr. out of the game, obviously unintentionally, but still, if that doesn't happen there, I think Ohio State wins. And I don't know if they win the I think they win the national championship last year. But I think if Michigan, because this whole, and that's what I wanted to touch on next, is this Michigan cheating scandal thing. Now, if you guys are not informed what happened, it's basically one of their offensive assistants named Connor Stallion put together this 600-page essay, basically detailing bit by bit of how he's going to take over the Michigan football program, and how his overall goal was to get Harbaugh's job to run the Michigan football program. And I mean, this guy is a total nut, and he basically was buying seats from 13 of the 14 Big Ten schools and scouting them, filming their sidelines, and, you know, finding out what signals they're in with which plays. And again, I'm sure a lot of college football teams do this on the DL. That's obvious. That's just my opinion. I think, you know, this is something that's probably been happening for a while. I just think that Michigan took it to a whole new level in doing this. And again, I really don't think it's fair to not let you scout teams, because I mean, in high school, I mean, high school scout each other, you know. And I just think it's something that should be allowed. But again, I'm not here to. Again, that's totally different subject. But basically, he did this, was purchasing tickets for big games and filming the sidelines. So again, I don't know where Michigan goes from here. I don't think this is not a good look for Harbaugh or the staff at all, especially after he had a 3-game suspension earlier in the season for cheating, illegally recruiting guys. So Jim Harbaugh, I mean, and then I read an article last night that's like, you know, even if there's still going to be consequences for him, even if he jumps over to the NFL next year, which I think a lot of us think is going to happen, because I think Michigan is going to end up letting go of him after the season just because of all this that happened. I honestly don't think Harbaugh wants the job anymore.
You haven't won nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, you won the bowls. Yeah.
He only has one bowl win at Michigan.
Only one bowl? Oh, come on, bro.
He has done what everyone wanted him to do, and he finally beat Ohio State. He's done it the last 2 years, and I honestly feel like he'll probably do it again this year. That's not set in stone yet. But I would imagine that Michigan.
I'll give him that, but a coach who was just in the NFL and then went to the Super Bowl with the 49ers, like, come on, bro. Come on, bro. You gotta make something happen. And one bowl win, yeah, you beat Ohio State. Congratulations. Ohio State really hasn't, you know, they won some bowl games.
It's just, it's hard to win in the Big Ten overall because they have not had a national champion since 2014 when Ohio State did it. So, I mean, it's hard to compete with the SEC teams. And, I mean, what Georgia's bring to the table the last 2 years. is unreal. And honestly, I've watched a decent amount of both Georgia and Michigan this year, and from what it seems to me, I think Michigan's the better team this year. So I think right now Michigan is still my national championship favorites. I think he might ride off to the sunset with a national title as well, which would be a big slap in the face to the NCAA, him riding off with a national championship. And again, I don't know if they're going to – he might not even be there come season's end, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see what that whole Harbaugh thing
even if he does
brings.
Come to the NFL, what team would he coach?
I think he has his eyes on the Bears' job is what it is, because the Bears have two first-round picks this year. They're going to probably have the number one and number two picks in the draft. I think they're what they're going to –
Caleb Williams and Marvin
that's
Harrison.
What I,
they don't need Caleb Williams, bro. What are you talking about? They have Justin Fields.
Well, they could trade Fields for a couple for a first-round pick, too.
They could trade Fields.
So,
they could trade Fields to the Jets. Yeah, I like that.
They
right
could
there.
Give – I mean, they could give Fields to – I mean, I wouldn't – Well, I guess Russ has a contract in Denver, but I mean, I'm not set in stone. Atlanta needs a quarterback.
That's even worse.
Atlanta needs a quarterback really bad.
I'll give them that.
Or Seattle needs a quarterback.
No, we don't.
Seattle.
Yeah. Speaking of Seattle.
I'll take Justin Fields. Let's go.
No.
I'll take Justin Fields.
I think I've been too hard on Fields so far. I think he needs a new environment. I don't think Fields has been good by any means this year. And I'll stand on that statement. But I have thought about it over, and I don't think Fields is a bad NFL quarterback. I just think he needs more pieces around him.
Justin Fields with Pete Carroll, and now he got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson.
Smith, Nick Jigba.
Nick Jigba, yes, sir.
So, I mean, yeah, again, with all those weapons around, I definitely believe, too, that absolutely.
And then you got Kenneth Walker. You mean, you got you a dual threat running game right there.
Hey, and they just picked up Leonard Williams, too.
They did. I saw that. I mean, that would be a great thing if Seattle could, you know, get a quarterback like Fields to go play for them. Especially, if Seattle gives away their first-round pick this year for Fields, I mean, why wouldn't Seattle take that? I guess they still have Geno Smith on the roster.
Hey,
But I feel like a lot of people. I feel like if you're Pete Carroll, you almost would take
a younger quarterback.
Yeah, but I don't know how much longer.
Then
Pete's
what was the point of us giving
either.
Geno Smith all that money?
Geno Smith got a second in the NFC. That's all I got to say.
But I mean, still, if you have Justin Fields on the market, are you really going to let him?
In the NFC, no.
Yes, they're second.
No, because the Lions have still got a better record.
They are second in the NFC, bro, right behind the Eagles. How are you going to tell me?
The Lions have a better record.
They have more division. Look it up. Then shut up. Look it up.
They have more division wins than the Seahawks.
Look it up. Look it up. I don't even got time to argue. Look it up.
You guys are nuts. But anyway, I don't know how that whole thing's going to go out. And I honestly think if Seattle wants to go even a younger guy, what I told Jason yesterday is I would draft Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, and I'd, you know, kind of build him behind Geno Smith because their games are a lot similar to each other as well. Who was right? I feel like Elijah was right from your guys' faces.
I was right. I was right indeed because the Lions have 6 wins.
That's only because they played last night. That doesn't mean anything. They played, but that doesn't mean anything, bro. They played last night, bro.
That still continues as that week, and now we're in the new week of football.
It just changed at midnight, bro. How you going to tell me?
Just changed at midnight because that changed last night when they won the game.
You guys are... Okay, well, anyway, Colts... played this weekend too.
Nobody care about the
attempted
Colts.
I mean, I'm pretty disappointed in the defense. We let the Saints score that many points.
Me too. I am very concerned in the defense. And what is the problem right now is unless these bottom feeder NFL teams start winning some games, Colts aren't really in contention for the top 5 pick. So I really think Marvin Harrison's kind of off the board. Which for a Colts fan that's been wanting this since, I mean, last year, it kind of hurts. I would give Chicago whatever they want and trade up. I'd give them Pittman and then a first round
pick.
I'd give them Pittman and a first round pick.
They better take Alex Pierce. I'm tired of Alex Pierce. I don't like him.
Why?
Bro, he dropped passes. That's why, bro.
I mean, Pittman's dropped some passes, too. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Colt, but either of Colt's receivers, so maybe we're being a little too harsh on him. I think Michael Pittman's probably worth I don't think you'd throw in a first-round pick in Pittman. I think that's too much. But, I mean, if you're trading up to, like, say the Bears are the second overall pick, and you're trading up there, I mean.
How about this? We give them Jonathan Taylor.
What?
They give
them. Taylor's,
I'm tired of
Taylor's here to stay.
No.
Taylor's here to stay.
They give him Jonathan Taylor, and then they give us their running back, which the running back is not bad.
Who is it?
Don't look it up. I think it might be David Montgomery.
Bears running back?
Yeah.
I think you might be right.
David Montgomery is a good running back. Came from the Bears.
We pay Jonathan Taylor, and again, I guess if you trade him, you get rid of that contract. But still, I think Taylor's here to stay.
We trade Jonathan Taylor. We get David Montgomery in their first draft, one of their first round draft picks. Let's go.
Okay, y'all are not going to waste Marvin Harrison Jr. career just like y'all wasted Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck's a quarterback.
If you let me finish, Elijah, maybe we can actually finish what I was going to say.
What a terrible offensive line, but keep going.
Just like I'm saying, y'all, the Indianapolis Colts ruins people's career.
What other receiver has the Colts ruined?
I'm just saying, like, in general.
I'm trying to figure out what other receivers the Colts ruin.
Michael Pittman Jr.
How did they?
Michael Pittman Jr.'s not.
Bro,
he's played.
He's
not
like
a wide receiver one.
He's played for three seasons. Calm down, buddy.
Oh, yes. Now he played more than three seasons. Don't tell me what he played for.
He played for.
His rookie year was the COVID year.
His rookie year was with Phillip Rivers.
This is like season three.
No, what college did he go to since y'all?
USC.
USC.
You only saying it because Garrett said it.
Literally knew I came from USC, bro.
You learned
Southern Cal.
I literally saw him get drafted in the draft.
Okay, what number was he then?
He wasn't number 13. That's what I do know.
He was a second round pick, correct?
He was a second round pick.
I don't know.
I think he was. Maybe pick 33. That's just a guess. 31, 33. No, 31 would be.
The Colts had a high second round
pick.
They
did that year.
They did have a high. It was around like 35 to
33. 33 to 33. I would say 7 is what that pick was around there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But
he's not a wide receiver. I mean, we're talking about Colts ruining wide receivers. They never really had, like, top-tier wide receivers. Like, they had T.Y. Hilton.
They had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, who were two of the NFL's best, if not the best, receiver duo. So, I mean, the Colts have had a good string of wide receivers, you know, going from Marvin to Reggie to T.Y. to
nobody.
People say Pittman, but I hope it's like Josh Downs impressed me. I think Josh Downs could be a wide receiver one in the league.
Who?
Josh Downs, the rookie from North Carolina, I think, who plays for the Colts. He's been very solid this year, and I think could be someone that, could be a could be a wide receiver one in the NFL.
Yes, sir. Let's drop Alex Pierce.
Bro.
I'm not too sold. I'm not.
I want to be Cooper Kupp.
I'm not on the drop Pierce train yet. But I like Pierce. I think Pierce is all right. I think he'll be all right. I don't know. I'm worried about what the Colts are going to do the rest of the season because, I mean, yeah, you could lose to get a better draft pick, but, like, what better draft pick are you going to get? I mean, you still have three wins unless every other team in the NFL starts winning quick. I don't think we're going to be able to get that Harrison pick. Do you guys think the Colts are going to win next week? They're on the road at Carolina.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with Jason. I don't think they're going to win because I think Reich's going to come in there with a chip on his shoulder and just do what Frank Reich does when his back's turned against the wall. He just beats a random team.
Man, nobody care about no Frank Reich, bro.
No, you understand. Bryce Young got his first win last week.
Oh, my God. By 1 point. Congratulations. That was actually CJ Stroud's first bad week this season. So, and then the Texans played terrible. So,
I mean, I honestly think CJ Stroud has future superstar written all over him. If he's not a superstar already, he is so good. I do like watching Stroud a lot.
Yes, sir. Just like the Brownsburg Bulldogs. Until the fourth quarter.
0-1.
Yes, sir.
And their playoff run this year.
Yes, sir.
You know what? That's all right, because not this week. But the week after that, y'all lose the next week. Or the week
the
after
Cathedral?
That. Yep.
Yeah, impossible.
No, you got a lot of pride for your team, though.
You did, too. That's what happened.
My team should have won. We got sold, but I'm not going to drop my name. I'm going to just say bad play calling.
All right, we're moving on from that. The NBA started. You guys know a lot of more about the NBA than I
yes,
do.
Yes, sir. You already got traded last night. You know, James Harden got traded by the 76ers to the Los Angeles Clippers. And, boy, it is a pack of a trade because this is something that you think about. You know, man, why did this team do that? You know, they got a whole bunch of for giving up a but you know, people think James Harden is really not that
James
important.
Harden got traded for a box of apples, a half eaten orange, and two small fries, bro.
But this is what happened with the trade. The Sixers will acquire Nicholas Batum, Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, who used to play for the Sixers, KJ Martin, and multiple draft picks and a pick swap from this season. So basically their picks will swap in the next draft. And then the Clippers will get in return, obviously, James Harden, P.J. Tucker, and Philip Petrušev, and also the pick swap. So, you know, the 76ers got a whole bunch of role players. You know, Robert Covington, he used to be a Sixers. You know, shout out to him. Marcus Morris, I mean, him and his brother, they be everywhere. So, but they're good role players. Both great sharpshooters, great defenders. I mean, they know how to play their role. I'm surprised they didn't have to give up Terrence Mann because he's a great defender. You know, overall in the trade, C minus trade. I feel like the 76ers could have got more.
I mean, how much more do you need, bro? He's aging.
I mean, I feel like the 76ers, even though he's aging, he's still a viable guard. Like, a viable guard. Like, personally. Like, he can still go out there and give you 20 and 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rock Griffith.
He is a Sixers fan, by the way, too.
I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm a Clippers fan now.
You sound like me when Kyrie got traded to the Mavs.
I'm a James Harden fan. Who are you talking about? Like, that man isn't about to give everyone 20 points a game, 10 assists,
Chatty.
Eight, like, nine,
actually,
five
actually,
rebounds.
Actually, I think he could, because I got him on my fantasy team right next to Ja Morant once he gets off his suspension.
Man, the Grizzlies is going to have a bad start, like a really bad start. The
Grizzlies is going to be so trash. I don't even know if they're going to make anything because they're going to be so bad.
Literally.
Once Mr. 12 come back, look, I don't like Ja like that. I'm going to say him, but Ja is a really good basketball player.
22 more games left. He got 22 more games.
That's fine, though. I'm just saying I don't like Ja, but he is a really good basketball player. Let's be honest.
You know, I feel like the Clippers have the assets. You know, they had the team to win the championship.
The Clippers are about to win it all.
They had the team to win the championship.
Though,
hello?
I was going to say, like, what do they not have? They have everything. They have offense. They have defense.
No, what I would say that they don't really have bench players to come in for Kawhi and PG now, which is
yes,
the bad part. Who?
Norman Powell.
He's a guard.
I didn't even know who Norman Powell is.
Yeah, Norman Powell, number 24, used to play for the Raptors.
Okay, real NBA knowledge right there.
You know, he was on that champion squad with Kawhi Leonard in 2019, Toronto champ.
Yes, sir, right next to Fred VanVleet.
When the Clippers don't win the championship after the season, they're going to blow it up.
They are.
They are.
And they're going to trade Paul George to the
Indiana Pacers, baby. Let's go. PG-13 back in action.
He's coming back in 24 and he's gonna like win MVP.
Yes, sir,
MVP. And then they're gonna win a championship.
They still got Westbrook. So this is even more dangerous because when Harden and Westbrook was on the team, they took the Houston Rockets to a fourth. And I remember correctly, PJ Tucker was on that Houston team when Harden.
Bro, PJ Tucker is tough too. Like,
you know what? They ain't going nowhere because you know why?
Why?
I got a list of teams for you. Ready? The Kings. Stop that.
They got to beat the Warriors first, bro.
Okay. The Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, the Clippers could beat the Warriors. Realistically, look at that matchup.
There's a problem with that matchup. They're way bigger than the Warriors.
Who's guarding Kawhi? Who's guarding PG?
Okay, hold on. Ready?
Draymond Green.
But I feel like Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins can hold it down because they are both two-way players against PG. They just got to worry about, like, the guard situation. And that's personally what Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry might have to step up.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Or Gary Payton II right there.
It's true, too. GP2. And we got, I'm not a Warriors fan.
And I can't forget, Chris Paul might be at his old age. He's still a great 6'2" player.
That's A.
I think the Warriors are in the finals this year, and here's why.
Nope.
If you think about it, if they make a deep playoff run, and Chris Paul's coming off the bench, and he's coming off the bench in the finals, you can't tell me Chris Paul is not giving you 20 a game in the finals. I mean, 20 plus a game in the finals.
I mean, probably.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for a guy like that who's so determined to win a title, I mean, I definitely think, you know, he, in that situation, he has the ability to, like, go old CP3.
But they still do got, we all know who just got traded. Dame Dollar in the Bucks. Hello?
I mean, yeah, and then I saw that game against the Hawks, and Dame is off. I don't know what's going on with him. Like, he shot terrible that game. But, you know, he kind of redeemed himself against Miami, and they blew up Miami. You know what I'm saying? Miami, on the other hand, talk about them. They are complete shambles.
Jimmy Butler.
Something's got to happen. I don't know why Jimmy Butler, like, is playing like this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
He got to stop trolling. Right? I mean, the media day was funny last year with the dreads. I mean, all right, let's pick it up. Let's play some basketball now.
Yeah,
okay?
Come look like an emo girl this year, Jimmy Butler. Shout out him, man.
And like, bro, like Jimmy and the Miami Heat, this is not the time where you guys can actually, like, think you can smooth your way through the East, because, no, there are actually teams that actually went to win this year, and like, the Pacers, they're stepping up big time. I mean, I don't know how we lost to the Bulls last night.
I think
night.
The Pacers are a couple pieces away from being a legitimate NBA contender.
I don't know how they lost to the Bulls last night, but I ain't going to talk about it. The Pacers, they're stepping up. The Hawks, they're stepping up again, especially after trading up John Collins, which is sad because I thought John Collins was going to be a Hawk forever, but I guess not. You know, everybody is stepping up in the East, and you see Boston, they're not stepping down. My goodness, like, actually, right. They're not stepping down. They are more dangerous than ever. With Kristaps Porzingis, Jrue Holiday, bro, their defense, and this man, Jaylen Brown, actually figured out how to dribble with his left hand last night. Actually.
I mean, you're right. I mean, the NBA is low-key loaded because you're right. Any team, like, you're right, any team, and I still think the Bucks could make a run. I mean, so early, I mean, we don't know what the Heat's going to look like in a couple months. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, this NBA season is kind of wide open if you think about it. Because I don't know, because I'm not too sold that – I don't think that Denver's going to repeat.
Man, Denver ain't doing nothing.
Denver is actually playing pretty really good. Like,
but they're not beating the Celtics.
How did Denver get worse, Jason?
What you mean, bro? They didn't get better.
How did they get worse?
They lost Bruce Brown.
What did they do last year?
I ain't going to lie. They lost Bruce Brown, and they're still literally playing the exact same basketball. The
exact same.
So – what's my point? They're not beating Boston.
They're the exact same team
they
that
could.
Won last
they,
year.
They could beat Boston.
Brody,
you're telling
Brody.
Me that the Den- what?
Please tell Rock. Please tell Rock that it is this simple. They are not beating Boston. Tell him.
Give me 1 second. Okay, I'll go like this. We'll look at it like this. Boston. Let's just look at the matchups they have seen as Boston. Boston has seen two really good teams, I think, in my opinion. Let me look. They faced the Heat, and the Heat's really hard for them, especially. And the Heat also made it to the finals last year, so they won, and they won in a really good game. I think the defenses really stand out. I think that's what really surprises me the most. Is not their offense, but their defense, because of how suffocating it is.
Are you talking about the Celtics?
Yeah, Celtics. Celtics guards defense. I mean, Jrue Holiday had a block, and, like, I think he had 2 blocks that game. And Derek White had 3. So it's just looking at the defense. I think they have. I think it's way more evenly matched than what people think.
Superstars matchup is a 4-on-2, if I'm being honest. Let's be honest.
It's not a superstar. They're stars. But superstars, it's 2-on-2.
I mean, we're going with stars. I mean, the Nuggets do have stars, like Aaron Gordon.
The Nuggets have a superstar.
Michael Porter Jr. You still forget Jamal Murray? Like, come on, bro.
Jamal Murray.
Bro, come on. Let's
Michael Porter Jr., y'all
trash.
Doubting that, man.
We're not worried about it. Ready?
Trash?
Ready?
What?
Drew Holiday. Okay.
What is he doing?
Drew Holiday?
Stop that.
Drew Holiday can go out there and
Drew Holiday can guard 1-5.
Drew Holiday can.
Some days he can guard 1-5.
Whoa.
Some days he can guard 1-5.
All right. Y'all tripping. Like, back to what I was saying. Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday. Kristaps Porzingis. Jaylen Brown. J-Tay? I mean, who else? What you need? First thing,
Jaylen Brown is when it comes to him going against good defenses, he actually plumbers, like, for real.
He put up 30 against the Heat. That's good defense. That's a really good defensive team.
They actually suck this year. There ain't no good defensive team. They actually suck this year.
All right, boys. That was another episode of the Playbook Radio Show here on Halloween morning. You guys can, we're going to start uploading our episodes and maybe even start back up the podcast. So listen on audioboom.com, Indy's Giant 90.9. Look for the Playbook Radio Show and the Playbook Podcast on there. Coming up next, we have Monster Mash, written in 1962 here by Pickett Bobby Boris. And you are listening to WBDG. FM HD1 Indianapolis. You guys have a great morning and stay safe tonight.